hearts and speak to them. Holy Spirit, in the hearing of your word, I pray that you would bring change and transformation to our hearts and minds, that we would be your people. We pray this in your powerful name, Lord Jesus. Amen. As I mentioned at the beginning of the service, today marks Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. And we're going to join with Christian churches throughout the nation to celebrate life, to celebrate our God, the Creator, the Originator, the Giver of all life. And this morning, as we take a look at our scriptures, we're going to be looking at God's plan for every life, and then we're going to take a look at redemption. Now, sanctity of life is not just a beginning of life issue. It doesn't only deal with conception, pregnancy, and abortion. In our world, it also addresses family crises and foster care. It involves the orphan and adoption. It involves those dealing with mental and physical exceptionalities, as well as end-of-life issues, as this conversation about euthanasia continues in our culture. And it envelops the areas of elder care, memory care, and even hospice. I praise the Lord for your faithfulness, Church of the Redeemer, because you are a people who are heavily invested in sanctity of life issues. From taking ministry to the prisons, those who might be forgotten, to standing up for the unborn, for those in the foster care system, for the orphan as seen in adoption, in caring for the sick, and for those in nursing homes and hospice, and in many other ways. You are a body that represents standing up for the sanctity of human life. Our God has clearly spoken on this topic from the beginning throughout Hebrew scriptures in the Old Testament, through the Gospels, and into the New Testament letters to the early church. God has clearly spoken. God declares that He has created every human life, and that He knows every single one, and that He values and has clearly declared the value in every human life. God's word also speaks that His people are to care for the young and the old, the sick and the infirmed, the widow and the orphan, the refugee and the outcast. God is clear about the sanctity of human life, that every life is valued and is precious in His sight. Throughout scriptures, God declares that every life is created with a purpose, with God-given purpose. There's a God-given call and plan for every life. And we see that in the scriptures that we read today. First, looking at our reading from Isaiah 49. We heard it twice in Isaiah 49, but God declares through the prophet Isaiah, "The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother, He named my name." And then in verse 5, we read, "The Lord who formed me from the womb to be His servant." These aren't the only places in the Old Testament where we see that statement, "from the womb," referring to God's call, God's leading, God's purpose. It's a theme declared throughout scriptures that the Lord knows not just Israel, not just certain people, but God knows every person before they were born. In Jeremiah chapter 1, in the call on Jeremiah, we read this. "Now the word of the Lord came to me," this is Jeremiah speaking, "saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you, I appointed you a prophet to the nations." In these verses, in the verses from Isaiah, we see the Lord, Adonai, Almighty God, knows not just Jeremiah, but every person, calling them with purpose from the womb. These verses are reminders that the Lord knew Isaiah, knew Israel, knew Jeremiah before they were born. And I believe these verses were intended. This is God speaking, and it was intended to be a reminder of God's purpose for them, so that when life was hard, when they doubted, when they were persecuted, they would be able to persevere, knowing that God had a purpose for them before they were born. It was a reminder to give them encouragement so that they might endure in faithfulness to God in their calling. These verses, I believe, are reminders to you and to me as well, to every man and woman, that no matter what's happening, no matter the good or the bad, the joyful or the tragic, beginning of life or end of life, God has called you, called each of you from the womb with his purpose. And we also see this theme from King David's words, the Lord knowing him before birth, as he famously declared it in the words of Psalm 139, where King David wrote, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. King David here declaring, God knew him before he was born. If God knew Jeremiah and King David, God therefore knew you, knows every human life before you were born. And David continued in verse 16, where David declares, your eyes, the Lord, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. God knew every one of David's days before he was born. So when does life begin? Well, it begins when God has a plan, when God creates life, when God calls life forth. It begins at conception. When as yet there was none of them, God knew every day you will live. When Jesus was incarnate in the Virgin Mary, when did his life begin? Did he stop living? He was alive before and in the womb. We see that in our gospel reading where John said, he who was before me comes after me. Well, John was born first. He who was before me. This flies in the face of our world's view that before a child exits the womb, they're not alive. They don't have calling or purpose. Our secular world essentially declares human values supersede God's values. And this is a terrible lie, that life is expendable prior to birth based on convenience or what's best for the birth mom or the birth dad. As when yet there were no days, God knew every day. A battle is being waged right now in our country. Some of this may be familiar territory for you, but it doesn't dismiss the fact that we need a wake-up call. There's a battle going on. I Googled First Coast Women's Services, the agency that stands for life in Jacksonville, just to get an idea of their mission. And in the search, the first thing that comes up, the first thing that appeared was a different organization, Jacksonville Women's Health, Safe Private Abortion Services. So even if you're looking for the specific agency, the searches will bring up the tools of the enemy, tools of death. We in our culture, whether we are in touch with it or not, are in a struggle for the protection of life. With our aging population, but especially with regard to the unborn. And the statistics are staggering. I could only find the most recent statistics for 2014. 954,000 abortions in the U.S., and that was noted as a decrease. In 2012, over a million. In 2013, 980,000. Are we moving in the right direction? Yes. But 954,000 abortions, 2,613 per day. Divide that by how many hours in the day? 24. You get 108 per hour, which works out to be 1.8 per minute. I've been talking to you for about 11 minutes. That's 22 lives lost. Every minute in our country, two unborn children lose their lives. I hope you're willing to pray daily for this, that we don't just talk about it once a year, that this becomes a daily passion for God's people. Not just to pray for the children, but also for the men and women dealing with crisis pregnancies, that they would, through their searching, find help that leads to life. And also for those men and women dealing with the consequences of abortion, who were sold the lie that this is okay and are dealing with the consequences. Many of you know that we've been partnered with First Coast Women's Services for years. It's a local agency providing free of charge pregnancy testing, ultrasounds, counseling about the options if you have an unplanned pregnancy, community referrals, as well as many other services, being a faith-based organization, which include prayer, which include counseling for the men and women carrying the emotional scars from abortion. They have a new video out, and it's about 5 minutes long, and we're going to watch it right now.
I was 19 years old when I found out I was pregnant. I was living on my own and not in a serious relationship.
I found out I was pregnant when I was 23. I was in college.
I was confused and had absolutely no idea what I was going to do, who I should tell.
I felt like I needed to keep it to myself. I wondered if I would be alone if I made the decision to choose life.
I went to my mom first, and she told me I should definitely get an abortion, told me that she would pay for it. And then I consulted a few of my really close friends.
My boyfriend told me to get an abortion, and so I went to First Coast Women's Services to get some information and get an abortion pill.
Before I had even spoken to the father, I pretty much had decided I was going to go to Planned Parenthood and talk to them about abortion. When I went into Planned Parenthood, they didn't give me really any options. They just asked me if I was going to terminate the pregnancy, and I actually had a counselor give me her story about how she had had an abortion and didn't regret it at all. I wish that somebody would have told me that I had more than one choice.
It is a common perception from clients that come to us that they have no choice. And the truth is, they have many choices.
When I first went into First Coast Women's Services, it didn't look the way I had expected it to. It was very welcoming. The walls had all my favorite colors, and it immediately helped for me to let my guard down. They told me that they don't have abortion pills at the center.
They encouraged me to do a pregnancy test and to go in and get a sonogram too, and I decided I would.
So they looked around for a little while, and they were trying to find the baby and couldn't really find it at first. And then all of a sudden I could see the little heartbeat flashing on the screen. I just all of a sudden had blurry eyes and felt tears running down my face. When Izzy was born, I had so much support around me that I never could have dreamed that I was going to have. And when I saw her, I knew that I had done the right thing. First Coast Women's Services made it clear to me from the beginning that they were going to be with me the whole way. It seemed so much more possible with their help. They really understood where I was and let me know that I'm cared for.
So when I went in to have the abortion, I didn't really think much of it. I was told that it would just be a normal medical procedure, that they would knock me out and I would wake up and be a little bit woozy and that would be it. When I went home, I felt completely numb about the situation. I didn't really process my emotions. I kind of just felt like I did what I had to do. So I started to realize that I was lashing out in the relationship that I was in. I was dealing with strong sensations of anger, regret, despair, depression, anxiety. And I was turning to drugs and alcohol to try to numb that pain, but it just would not go away.
The most important thing that we can offer to clients is unconditional love. One program we have is our post-abortion healing called Forgiven and Set Free. As women and men walk through this program, they are able to receive the forgiveness and love that Jesus Christ made available for them at the cross.
It was a huge eye-opener for me about just how much pain I was in and where that despair had been coming from. And I learned that I not only needed to be forgiven for all sin, but specifically that I needed healing in this one area that was affecting every aspect of my life.
The truth is, God has a plan for every one of us. So no matter what you've done, or what situation you're in, there is hope.
The sonogram was what changed our life, my life and her life.
Today, I'm forgiven and redeemed. I got a second chance. We can all have second chances.
The most important decision I ever made was to answer God's call. And he called me to choose life for my daughter and for myself.
The video highlights not only the first mother's choice of life for her baby, but it also demonstrates the redemption and the healing experienced by the second mother. And there we see the gospel, the good news in Jesus Christ. The Lord who creates all human life with his purpose and call is a loving God, full of grace and mercy to all who repent and turn to him by faith in Jesus Christ. Our God is a God of redemption, desiring to rescue and redeem all who are lost or broken or ashamed, no matter what the burden. Desiring all to be restored, desiring all to have new life in Jesus' name, and all to see him transform and use their broken stories for his kingdom purposes. We began this morning's service with Psalm 40, one of my favorites from my childhood. It'll date me, but I first memorized this psalm through the influence of the band U2. In the early days, they had a song, and it remains in my head. That's how I memorized that psalm. And children, I will not sing it right now, I promise. Psalm 40 presents a picture of God's redemption, of the transformation God can do in a broken life to all who turn to him in faith. King David writes, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. This is the redemption that second mother experienced through the gospel, through men and women being willing to share their story and testimony of new life in Jesus' name. Do you see the hope here in God's redemption? That no matter what you've done or chosen, whether abortion or murder, no matter what, if you will turn to the Lord and cry to Him for forgiveness and redemption, He promises to redeem you, to pull your feet out of the miry bog where you're stuck, the pit of destruction, the pit of shame and guilt, and set your feet upon His rock, making your steps secure. And Psalm 40 continues, He put a new song in my mouth, the song of praise to our God, that many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. And that theme continues through Psalm 40, where the psalmist writes, I have not ceased to tell the story. I have not ceased to proclaim what God has done. And there we see our purpose as God's people. Through God's redemption in Jesus Christ our Savior, He supplants your old song, your brokenness, with a new song, with a new story. And His purpose for His people, from the creation of your life, His calling you into being is that you will sing His song. You will sing His new song and be a witness for Him, for the new life, for the redemption you have in His name, so that many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. I pray that this year you will join me in daily praying for these sanctity of human life issues, and that you will daily listen for God's promptings. He's got a call on each of you, a purposes for each of you. And I pray you will take time with the Lord to listen each day, to listen throughout your day for His promptings, for the opportunities He will give you to sing your new song, to love and care for others, to stand up for and defend the powerless, all for the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you now.